Here we've been here at the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Bet, four lines from the bottom. There's a breita. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ein Madlikin B'Tzri. One cannot light with tzri, which is said to be the gum, the sap of the tree. My time, Maraba Mitoch Shirechonu Deif, because it has an aromatic smell to it. It's fragrant, and we're afraid Gzeira Hashem Yistapek Mimenu, that you might actually take it for your own use, for perfume, to use it for other reasons. And the problem with that is, if you take oil out of a lamp, it's the equivalent of being mechabeh, to extinguishing the lamp, because you're removing the fuel that would otherwise been designated to light this lamp, and when you take it out, it's a din of mechabeh. So we're afraid that you're going to use or utilize this oil, so that's why we won't allow you to use it. Why don't you say that the problem here is because it is volatile, it's explosive, it is flammable? So when it says, it's two reasons. Chada, first reason we don't want you to use it is b'mpnei shu'af, because it's explosive. And the secondary reason is that we are afraid that you might utilize it for its aromatic smells, its perfume, and that would be a problem of mechabeh. Now the Gemara brings a little story. So some other-in-law that despised her daughter-in-law. Do me a favor, why don't you just put on some of that perfume here? We have some oil here, balsam oil, that you might want to put on as your perfume. Azla ikshit, she went ahead and she put it on. Kiatat, when she returned, Amrla, zil itle shraga, go light the candle for me. Azla itle shraga, she went ahead, she lit the candle. Infach banura vachalto, the af here, this explosive type of oil, she was now covered in it as her perfume. She lit the candle and she went up in flames along with the candle. It's an age-old problem, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. The Gemara is not writing it to condone the behavior, it's just trying to show you that it is explosive.
Proof that it works.
Proof that it is explosive. Now the Gemara brings the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Umidalot haaretz hishir nevuzeradin. Rabba Tabachim. So Nebuzaradan was the general of Nebuchadnezzar's army when the Babylonians conquered Eretz Yisrael. They destroyed Yerushalayim. Here's the description when he runs over Yerushalayim. But he left behind. It says over here, there are certain things that he didn't take or that he left behind. One of those are Midalot Aretz, from the poor of the land. Hishir Nebuzaradan Rabba Tabachim. Nebuzaradan, the king of executions. Lekormim Uliyogvim. He left behind the vintners and the farmers. Those that work the vineyards and those that work the fields, they left some of the poor behind to do that. Kormim, what are these kormim? Tanei Rav Yosef, Elu Melaktei Afar Simon. Those are the people that collected, gathered Afar Simon, in Gedi v'ad Ramato. From En Gedi until Ramato, which is interesting today, if you go down to the areas in Qumran, and those areas, they believe, the archaeologists, that the main occupation of those people there was actually making this Afar Simon perfume. And here the Gemara says that that area was known for its making of Afar Simon. Yogvim elu tzaidei chilazon. These are those that capture the chilazon mislamot shel tzur vad Haifa, from the rocky edges that are from Haifa until Tyre, along the coastline where you would find the chilazon, you'd find the shells that you needed to make the tchelet. Tan Rabbanan, ein madlikim betevel tamei bechol. One may not use as a fuel tevel tamei, even on a weekday, and vein tzarich lomar b'shabbat, and certainly not on Shabbat. The problem with tevel tamei is that till you are mafrish, the truma from the tevel, you do not have permission to utilize the tevel. It's not yours to use at all. Now, that is true by tevel tamei. On the other hand, there's a machloket here between tevel tahor, between Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says tevel tamei, v'koshukein tevel tahor, that the same din would equally apply to Tevel Tahor as Tevel Tameh. So neither one of them are you permitted to gain benefit from, because Tevel is a chiyuv mita bidei shemayim for someone who eats it, because of the embedded truma that's inside of it. Tevel has the same din as whatever is left inside of it. So if truma has a mita bidei shemayim if you eat it, then if you have something that's Tevel lit truma, it still has truma inside of it, it hasn't been separated yet, that will also have a chiyuv mita bidei shemayim. So even though it has properties of the Trumat Tameah, because it's not separated out, you may not get benefit from the Tevel by burning it. Rashi says, B'choshekein Tohor, that's the same by the Tohor. Tosafot differentiates with the types of Hana'ah. He says that when it comes to Tevel Tohor, you may not get Hana'ah Shel Kilui, Hana'ah that eliminates or destroys the Tevel. But there's no restriction against getting Hana'ah from Tevel Tohor. One can get Hana'ah if you want, as long as you don't destroy it or ruin it. So now, where it says, "Ein madlikim b'tevel tamei b'chol b'enter kol mar b'shabbat k'yotzibo." Ein madlikim b'neft levan b'chol. One may not light with this neft. It's a petroleum derivative, nafta, white nafta, on the weekday. B'enter kol mar b'shabbat, and certainly not on Shabbat. Bishnama neft levan. The reason that we don't use this white nafta is mipnei shu'af. Again, it's explosive. It's dangerous. Just we don't want people using something that's that volatile, that is flammable, because it's endanger their well-being. About tevel tamei, my timer. What's the problem with having tevel tamei? Amar krav, ani nei natati lecha et mishmeret trumotai. I gave you, and we saw this pasuk yesterday, I gave you mishmeret trumotai. Again, trumotai is used in the plural instead of trumati. It says trumotai, hatrumot sheli. Shtei trumot akadu midaber. Chad trumat teora, v'chad trumat tmeya. Ma trumat teora in the chabai l'mishat haroma ve'elech. Just like when it comes to trumat teora, the kohen may not take it, benefit from it, eat it, until it's removed from the tevel. Kohen, even though he's permitted to eat trumat teora, may not eat tevel. Even a kohen on his own produce has to separate out the truma. He can eat it then and give it to himself, but he still has to separate it out from the rest of the tevel. And if he doesn't do it, then he has the same chiyuv as anybody else. So, av trumat meyah, in the chabad, let me shat the rama veilech. Trumat meyah, we said before, you're allowed to get benefit from trumat meyah, you're allowed to burn it, to get the anah of the light and the heat from when you burn it. Nevertheless, that's only true once it's removed from the tevel. If it's still a part of the tevel, you cannot get that benefit. So that's the restriction against using tevel tameh. Gufa. Rishim ben Elazar omer, ein madlikim bitzri. So that's what we started here the sugya with. Going back, Gufa always means that the Gemara is going back to investigate something that it discussed before. So here we have Rabbi Shimon Elazar Meir Malikim B'Tzri. V'chein ayah Rabbi Shimon Elazar Meir. Tzri in el sraf me'atzei ha'ktaf. Tzri is this gum or sap that comes out of the atzei ha'ktaf, out of the balsam tree. So it's balsam gum, balsam sap. Shmuel Omer, kulei yotzei min ha'etz, ein madlikim bo. Shmuel says, any derivative of the tree, you may not light it. Rabbi Shmuel ben Baruch Omer, he states it in the more positive format, which is that you can only light with things that are derivatives of fruit. And Rabbi Darfon comes to the conclusion, you can only use olive oil. So we have three positions here. Rabbi Shmuel says that you can't use anything that's a derivative of the tree. Rabbi Shmuel ben Baruch says it has to be a derivative of fruit. And then Rabbi Tarfon with the final statement, Shimon Zab Bilvad. Tarfon is in our Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon includes our Mishnah the same way. Which is Rabbi Tarfon Mayim, Malikinam, Shimon Zab Bilvad. The same Rabbi Tarfon in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel is more interesting, because Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah says, Ein Malikim B'Itran, Mipnei Kvod HaShabbat. Says you can't use Itran, which we said was the Psulta de Zifta, is the leftover, the residue of the pitch. You may not use it, and the Gemara gave the reason for that is, because of the smell. The smell may chase you out of the house. The problem over here is that Rabbi Shmuel is indicating the reason that you can't use items that derive from the tree is because they're not good to use with the wicks. They're not drawn after the wicks. So it's interesting that here Rabbi Shmuel seems to think that the problem with Itran would have been the fact that it is Yotzei Min Ha'etz. In our Mishnah, he says that it's because it smells. So as David said, maybe it's Chad V'od Gamar. Tosfot here leaves it as a tzarchion. He doesn't know how to explain that or reconcile that between Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Shmuel here seems to be giving a different reason in the Tosefta. Amad Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri al raglav v'amar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri objects and says, Maya se'an she bavel, shem lahem elo shem in shumshumim. What are the people of Bavel going to do if they only have sesame seed oil? Maya su'an she madai, shem lahem elo shem in eguzim. They only have oil from nuts. Maya se'an she Alexandria, shem lahem shem in snonot. They only have radish oil. Mayesu anshei kapotkia, she'enem lokach, lokach ala nift. They have nothing besides nift. Elein l'chalama, shemru chachamim, ein landikim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes back and says, we're not going to add on. We're not going to introduce larger restrictions on what oils you can use. Rather, the Mishnah has listed in it exactly what you can't use. Those are the items that you can't use, and we're not going to expand the list. Because if you expand the list, or subscribe to Rabbi Tarfon, who says, Shem and Zab Bilvad, then you're going to run into a problem, which is that in these other locations, they're going to have nothing to use. They're not going to have any oil. They're not going to have any light on Shabbat. So it's easy to speak in your own area, to speak about Shem and Zayit within the confines of Eretz Yisrael, the Makom HaTanaim. But if you're talking about people outside of Eretz Yisrael, that's a very difficult demand to say that it's always made out of olive oil. We have to take into account people in other areas only have access to certain types of oils. And so they're going to use the best oils that they can in their area. Now, there are two issues in terms of using shemen zayit, which is one is the cost. For people outside of Eretz Yisrael, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's probably expensive, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's clearly very expensive to get olive oil. And we can't make a demand on people to light candles every Shabbat. It's something that's going to break the bank, because they don't have access to these items. So we have to give them an option that is reasonable for them to afford, and something that, number two, gives light. May not be as good a light or as perfect light as Shemen Zayit Bilvad. So what we're trying to do is balance between the economic ability to purchase oils that are reasonably priced, as well as the need for it to be light on Shabbat and to have candles lit on Shabbat. And that's the objection of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri here, that you cannot put on such restrictions or limitations that it's going to be impossible for people to have candles for Shabbat, to have light for Shabbat. Malikin, b'shemen dagim ubi'itran. One is allowed to use the oil of fish, ubi'itran. Again, we said it's suta zifta. Rishim Azari Omer, aglikim b'shemen pakuot ubi'nift. Can light with this shemen pakuot, which was in our Mishnah, that it actually called the dlat midbari, the wild gourds, ubi'nift, and with this nafta. Anything that is a derivative of an animal, you may not use, except for fish oil. So when it says, Sumchus hainu Tanakama, isn't Sumchus the same thing as the Tanakama? The Tanakama said, Madlikim b'shemen dagim ubi'itran. And now Sumchus comes along and says, you can't use anything that's a derivative of an animal except shemen dagim. So, ikibeinayu derabrona amarav, below misaime. The difference between them is Rabbon and Amarav, who we bumped into earlier in the Perek, and we don't know which one holds of him and which one does not hold of him. Now, Rabbon and Amarav, which we saw earlier in the Perek, is that if you add oil to it, shemen zayit, to the mixture, then it's mutar. So one of these two believes that if you add oil to the mixture, then it's mutar. So now we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who is saying you can light with any oil, but when he comes to the list of the animal oils, he only mentions shemen dagim. And if some who says the same thing, so what's the difference between them? Rashi describes this. Had mehanach tenai sabar. One of them holds the rabruna. The chelev nitar betarovet. That fats from animals are mutar. Aval shemen dagim afilu bene. But if it's oil of a fish, even if it's as it is, you can use it. The chad sabar shemen dagim ayde tarovet. That shemen dagim can be used with the mixture. Aval chelev klalu klalo. But fats from the animals you may not use at all. Tosafot says, I don't understand, Rashi. I don't know what you're talking about here. None of them are like Rav Bruna Merav now. So according to Rashi, you can only use the mixture for one of the two items. Either for the dagim or for the chelev. One of them is going to hold that the mixture helps for the chelev, but dagim you need no mixture. And then the other one's going to say, no, I need a mixture for the dagim, and for chelev you can't do anything. But neither of them say that a mixture works for both. And Rav Bruna Merav says that it works for both. Rashi is trapped because the way Rashi explained Shemen Dagim in our Mishnah. Shemen Dagim in our Mishnah, Rashi said, is Kirvei Dagim Shinimohu. It's the innards of the fish that had dissolved, which is the same Kirvei Dagim that Rav Bruna Merav spoke about earlier in the Perek. Tosafot over here says, and this is the way he explains the Mishnah, that Shemen Dagim in the Mishnah is not the same as Kirvei Dagim Shinimochu. It's not the same as the innards of a fish that had dissolved. Shemen Dagim, and Rabbeinu Tam says here, is Shemen Dagim and Shemen Shabam Meino Shel Dag. It's fish oil. It's literally fish oil that comes out of the eye of the fish. And that's what's being described here. Therefore, the fish oil here has nothing to do with Rav Bruna Merav. Then one of them holds entirely like Rav Bruna, because if you require a mixture, then you hold or subscribe to Rav Bruna's position. Even though the Shemen Dagim is mutar without the mixture. The Shemen Dagim here is the oil, fish oil, not what was mentioned by Rav Bruna. Rav Bruna talking about the innards of a fish that had dissolved. Over there he requires a mixture, just like he requires a mixture by chelev, by fat. So now Tosafot, by making that differentiation, says that the Shemen Dagim is not relevant to Rav Bruna Merav, because he didn't discuss that. And therefore now you can have the Shemen Dagim. Rav Bruna would agree that you can use it or utilize it without any mixture. And so one of them says chelev can be used together with the oil. One of them says no, and that will subscribe to Rav Bruna Merav. So Tosafot and Rashi disagree about what the Shemen Dagim is, and because of that, they end up explaining the Gemara slightly differently. So now the Gemara continues. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol Yotzei Min HaEitz, anything that's a derivative of the tree, Ein Bo Mishum Shalosh HaShalosh, does not have a din of 3x3, Umisach HaChim Bo, you can use it for Tzchach, Chutz mi pishtan. Pishtan is the exception to this rule. So we're actually going to have this a number of times in Shabbat. Here less relevant than in other places in Shabbat. But many times in Shabbat, the Gemara needs to know about an item. Is an item is considered to be a kli? It's considered to be a utensil? Is an item considered to have utility? And on Shabbat, how do we have framework to know whether that's the case or not the case? So the Gemara will always look to Hilchot Tumah. Hilchot Tumah work that an item is only mikabel Tumah when it has utility, and it is a kli. So the Gemara many times in Shabbat will look to Hilchot Tumah to find out whether something is classified as a kli or not. But here, the Gemara is saying, anything that derives from a tree, ain bo mishum shalosh o shalosh. Now shalosh o shalosh, here is written in the nekeva, it's written in the female form. So when you have shalosh o shalosh, you only have two options here. Shalosh o shalosh amot, or shalosh o shalosh etzbaot. It's clearly not amot here, we're talking about three finger breaths. Shalosh o shalosh etzbaot. The Gemara used shlosha al shlosha in the male form, then it would be tfachim that it was referring to. So there is a din in tumah, that the minimum size of a beged, some sort of piece of clothing, cloth, in order to be mekabel tumah, in general, is shlosha al shlosha tefachim, 3 by 3. Now, that's with all other materials, except for beged, pishtan, except for linen. Over there we say, even if it is shalosh al shalosh, 3 by 3, etzbaot, it's still mekabel tumah. The Gemara asks, why? What's the utility of an item that is 3 by 3 etzbaot? The answer is that it's a patch. It's a tlai for an ani. A poor person would use that as a patch on his beged. If he had a hole in his beged, he would patch it up with something that's 3 by 3 etzbaot. So since it has utility, even down to 3 by 3 etzbaot, it is mekabel tumah. So that's what it says here. Kol yotze min ha'etz, ein bo mishum shalosh ha'sholosh. Anything that's a derivative of the tree does not go into this category of beged. That 3 by 3 etzbaot will be tumah chutz min ha'pishtan, except for linen. Linen does have that category. So shalosh ha'sholosh is a lower standard. That lower standard doesn't apply to things that are derivatives of the tree except for pishtan, except for linen. The Gemara will see in a second that why are you even talking about pishtan? Flax is not a tree. But the Gemara is going to show us that the pasuk calls flax or pishtan a tree. And so because of that, it's incorporated in this din. Number two is, umisachachim bo. Anything that's a derivative of the tree is not mikabel tumah, and therefore you can use it for schach. You can use it for your sukkah. Because one of the requirements for schach on the sukkah is that it's not mekabel tumah. Cannot be a kli, cannot be something that would be mekabel tumah. The exception to that rule, again, is pishtan. Pishtan may not be used, because in 3 by 3, pishtan or onim shel pishtan, bundles of pishtan, may not be used for your schach. Pishtan, in all these cases, is the exception to the rule. Okay, Amar Abaye, Shimon ben Elazar, v'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel amru davar echad. Shimon ben Elazar, who we just saw, who says that pishtan has this unique quality, is subscribing to the same idea that Tana Debei Yishmael says. Because otherwise, we don't know where Rabbi Shimon gets his din from. So where would Rabbi Shimon ever say that other begadim don't have a din of tumah? And only beged pishtan has tumah. Where does he derive that from? How does he know that? So it must be that he holds or subscribes to the same position as Tana Rabbi Yishmael, which is Rabbi Shimon Lazmar Hadimran. We know what Rabbi Shimon Lazar just said. Tana Debei Yishmael Mahi. The Tani debate Rabbi Shmuel Hoben Emru Bigadim B'Torah Stam. The Torah uses the word beged many times in the Torah. It doesn't define for us what beged is. How do we know what a beged is? Pirei Techa Katu Bechad Mehem. And the pasuk comes in some places and tells us exactly what a beged is. Tzemer Upishtim. By Nigaim, by Tzarat, the Torah says that a beged, Tzemer O beged Pishtim. It calls it a beged Tzemer beged Pishtim. So therefore the Torah gives you Malala and Tzemer Pishtim, Afkol Tzemer Pishtim. What basically he says is this creates a paradigm for the Torah. It's a binyan av. It establishes the meaning of the word beged throughout the Torah. The word beged throughout the Torah is tzemer upshtin. Only wool and linen would be classified as a beged. So therefore, Tanya Bar Bishmol tells you that the only thing that's been mekabel tumah, like a beged, is tzemer upshtin. How does he get that? Because he defines the word beged in the Torah to be tzemer and pishtim. Once you do that, and the only tumata beged that's going to apply by shalosh shalosh is that which is tzemer upishtim. And that's where Rabbi Shimon Elazar gets his din from. Rava amar, shlosha shlosha, bishar begadim, ike binayu. Rava says that, even though they agree with regards to shalosh shalosh, when it comes to 3 by 3 tfachim, they disagree. Rabbi Shimon Elazar itle, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar and other begadim, 3 by 3 tfachim would be mekabel tumah. That's what you asked me before. What's the minimum standard for other materials? The minimum standard for other materials, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, is 3 by 3 tfachim. He only says that 3 by 3 etzbaot doesn't happen by other begadim. But three by three tefachim would happen. Tani Rabbi Yishmael lately. Tani Rabbi Yishmael says that there is no tumah by other materials whatsoever. The only materials that are mekabel tumah are beged. Beged is tzemer ufishtim. It has a very narrow definition. So the way Rabbi Shimon Bar Elazar is going to read it is beged is defined as tzemer ufishtim. That beged has a din of three by three etzbaot. But everything else comes into the picture once you hit three by three tefachim. Everything will be mekabel tumah. On the other hand, Tani Rabbi Yishmael believes 3x3 tfachim, 3x3 etzbaot. Tzemer pishtim is the only thing that classified as a beged. Nothing else is classified as a beged. That's the position of Rava. Abaye says that they agree completely. So now the Gemara says, Kuli alma mia, shalosh shalosh b'tzemer pishtim mitamei b'negaim minolon. Everybody agrees that 3x3 by tzemer pishtim is mitamei in b'negaim, that it would be mekabel tuma. Minolon, how do you know that? Where is the source that tzemer pishtim has this din of 3x3 etzbaot, detanya, beged, in the yellow beged. I have the word beged that's used in the Torah. I only know a beged. Shalosh or shalosh minayin. How do I know that if it's not a beged, but it's a small piece of a beged, it's 3x3 etzbaot? How do I know that? Talmud Omer, veha beged. So the veha beged is a riboy. That riboy comes to include something smaller than what would otherwise be a full piece of clothing. So Gemara says, Emer l'rabot, shalosha, shalosha. Why are you going all the way down to 3x3 etzbaot? We know that there are smaller pieces of cloth that are not a beged, but they are mekabel tumah. That's 3x3 tefachim. If I know that an entire piece of clothing is mekabel tumah, then I have a riboy that says even less than a whole piece of clothing is mekabel tumah. Well, then you go down to the next stage. The next stage down from that is 3x3 tefachim. You don't go all the way down to 3x3 etzbaot. So the Gemara says, how did you know to go all the way to 3x3 etzbaot? The Gemara says, lav kavachomer. It's a kavachomer. Hashto sheti ve'erev mitamei shlosha al shlosha miboy. We have in Tumat Negaim, not only is a beged tzemer upishtim mekabel tumah, but even the sheti ve'erev is mekabel tumah. Sheti are the strings that go longwise, erev are the strings that go widthwise. It's the warp and the woof. That those strings are mekabel tumah, even when they are not woven. They're mekabel tumah. But it means like the bakwot of sheti and erev, which are the balls of the yarn or string, whatever they were using to weave with. So, shlosha, shlosha, mi bayi, 3x3 tefachim, you even have a question about? So Gemara says, yihochi, shlosha, shlosha, nami, leite bikavachomer. Such a good idea, because if sheti and erev, the plain strings, are mekabel tumah, then certainly 3x3 tefachim is mekabel tumah. So even less, even 3x3 etzbaot should be mekabel tumah. That's more or better than just having the plain strings. Why are you going all the way to 3x3 tefachim? Ella, shlosha shlosha dechazu ben le'ashirim ben le'anim ati mekabel v'chomer. So this is a key distinction here. 3x3 tefachim, which is utilized both by rich and poor alike. Once you hit 3x3 tefachim, 3 fistfuls by 3 fistfuls, that is a size of cloth that has utility to everyone. You can use it as a smartut, you can use it to wipe up, as a handkerchief, as a napkin. It has value both to rich and poor alike. So that's something where everybody's on a level playing field. On the other hand, shalosh al shalosh, 3x3 etzbaot, li'anim hu dechazian l'shirin lo chazian, lo'ati b'ka b'chomer. 3x3 etzbaot, 3 finger breasts by 3 finger breasts, and ani, a poor person will keep that type of cloth to use as a patch. But an ashir would toss it out. It's like garbage. It's a useless piece of material to him. It's not worth keeping around. So what the Gemara says now, if I have to make a kavachomer, I know that sheti and erev, plain strings, are considered to be tmeim or mikabel tumah when it comes to tumat negayim. So now if I want to make a kavachomer to a piece of cloth that will be mekabel tumah, I'm only going to talk about things that are useful and have utility to everyone. Just like the strings only have utility to everyone, so too only a beged or a weave that has utility to everyone, like 3x3 tefachim, we are going to say as tumah. But 3x3 has both, which is not universally accepted to have utility, then I'm not going to say I can learn out of sheti and erev. Now the Gemara says, taima dichtavei kra. The only reason that we know this is because the pasuk said it. Had the pasuk not told us this, we wouldn't have learned it out of a kama chomer. So now, the conclusion of the Gemara is, shlosha shlosha tefachim, we learn out of the kal v'chomer from sheti and erev. Shalosh al shlosha etzbaot, we learn out from the riboy of v'ha beged. Beged means a whole piece of clothing. V'ha beged means even less than a whole piece of clothing. What's less? 3x3 etzbaot, because I don't need 3x3 tefachim, that I know already. So I know now that I have 3x3 etzbaot. So now Gemara says, ve'emal rabot shlosha shlosha bishar bigadim. Wait, why don't we say this? That maybe it comes to include 3x3 tefachim in other types of materials. Why do you have to say it's going to include 3x3 etzbaot in semer and pishtim? Let's say that it comes to include 3x3 tefachim in other types of materials. So at this point, we know we're limited to tzemer and pishtim. We're limited to wool and linen. Now, the limitation of wool and linen says that either it's a beged, oh, it's sheti ve'erev, and then we say we know from a kav v'chomer also 3x3 tefachim. So all I know so far is that 3x3 tefachim and tzemer and pishtim is the minimum size to be mekabel tuma. So now I have a choice. I have a ribui now, an inclusion that says something more than that's included. So I can go in two directions. I can either lower the minimum size, or I can expand the number of materials that are there. So the Gemara went ahead and said it lowered the minimum size to 3x3 etzvot. The Gemara says, why not? Instead, keep it at 3x3 etzvachim, but expand the number of materials that are included. Samar kra, beged semer ufishtin. Beged semer ufishtin in midach v'nei lo. Problem is that the pasuk says beged semer ufishtin. A beged is defined by wool and linen. To tell us, only beged semer ufishtin, nothing else. Zve'ema kimaut nishvalo shashosh. But let us say here, when the pasuk comes to say wool and linen, yes. Other materials, no. Let us say that it comes to say this. We'll take the ribui and include even a smaller size by wool and linen. Even 3x3 etzba'ot will be mekabel tumat negayim by wool and linen. But now I have a miut that says tzemer pishtim, yes. Other materials, no. What are being memayit? So now we say we're memayit everything. These other types of materials have no 3x3 tefachim, have no 3x3 etzba'ot, have nothing. Why don't we say like this? When it comes to say beged semer pishtim, beged semer pishtim has as low as 3x3 etzvot. The other types of materials don't have that low, but at least they'll have 3x3 tefachim. Shlosha shlosha mitamei. So when it says it, shrei miute ktive. Two miutim, beged semer o beged pishtim. Chad miute mishalosha shlosh, v'chad miute mishalosha al shlosha. Beged semer pishtim is written twice. One time to say that other materials are not included in 3x3 tefachim. One time to say that they're not included in 3x3 etzvot. So according to this limud of Tana de Yishmael, there is no tuma whatsoever by other materials when it comes to the standard of 3x3 etzbaot, when it comes to the standard of 3x3 tefachim. That's what Rava says is the difference between Tana de Yishmael and Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar agrees by 3x3 etzbaot that it only applies to wool and linen, not to other materials. But when it comes to other materials, he says that by 3x3 tefachim, they would be mekabel tuma. Tana Rav Yishmael says nothing. Nothing is mekabel tuma until it's a beged by other materials. It has to be a full beged in order to be mekabel tuma. Less than that is not mekabel tuma because standards of 3x3 etzvot and 3x3 tefachim is unique to tzemer and pishtim, to wool and linen. Zulorobo damar, shlosha shlosha bishar begadim ikabinayu. The Rav Shimon Elazar idle. The Tana Rabbi Yishmael letle. Shlosha shlosha bishar begadim minale. Where does he learn that out from by 3x3 by other begadim? Where does Rabbi Shimon Elazar get that? If he's subscribing to the position of Tana Bei Rabbi Shimon, he should subscribe entirely to it, which is that there is no 3x3 tefachim by other clothing, other materials. If that's the case, and we're saying, according to Rabbi, that he has a differentiated opinion, where does he get that differentiated opinion from? According to Abaye, Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Tana Bei Shimon have the same din. So whatever Tana Bei Shimon says, so does Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi says that Rabbi Shimon Elazar has a different opinion than Tana Bei Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon Elazar believes once you hit 3x3 tefachim, all materials are in the game. Not just wool and linen, all materials become mekabel tuma. That's different than Tana Bei Yishmael. But if his whole reason or his whole limud derives from the same place as Tana Bei Yishmael, which is the limitation to wool and linen, how does he have a differentiated opinion? Where does he get his limud that other materials are mekabel tuma from 3x3 tefachim? Where it says, Nafkalei mi o beged. Goes it out from the extra, the riboy of o beged, which is written by the shvatzim. Too much shvatzim, it says o beged. So the tanya beged, ain li ala beged, shlosha shlosha bishar begadim minayin. I only have beged. Beged, again, is a defined term in the Torah. Beged is defined as tzemer ufishtim. So ain li ala beged, shlosha shlosha bishar begadim minayin. How do I know 3x3 tefachim by other begadim? Tamalomar o beged. So that o beged comes to be a riboy to include even other materials for 3x3 tefachim, that minimum standard for other items. So where we are so far, the Gemara continues further down the daf. I'm going to stop over here. What we have here so far is Shimon Elazar, and we have the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. We'll work with Tana de Bei Mishrael Rabbi first, because they're very simple. Their opinion is easy to understand, which is that Tana de Bei Shmuel believes that the word beged is defined in the Torah by tzemer u'pishtim. The Torah in one place by Nega'im tells us the word beged and gives a qualification of what the word beged is, tzemer u'pishtim. Therefore, it establishes a binyan av, a paradigm for the remainder of the Torah, that anytime the word beged appears, it means tzemer upishtim. Because of that, they believe by Tumah, the only thing that is relevant by Tumat, materials that are less than a full beged, only applies to Tzemer Pishtim. Because all the Ribuim, all those inclusions come from Ribuim that include the word beged. So if I'm going to include other things, it's only by Tzemer Pishtim. So Tanya Rabbi Yishmael says, number one, by three Tfachim, Tzemer Pishtim are Kavu Tumah, Kavu Chomer from Sheti and Erev. Number two, three by three Etzba'ot, are Mikabel Tum'ah, by Tzemer Pishtim, because of the word Vahabeged, the Ribuy of Habeged. Then, lastly, that does not apply to any other Beged, because twice, by Nigayim, it says Beged Tzemer Pishtim. Since it says twice they're Beged Tzemer Pishtim, one comes to exclude them from the din of three by three Tfachim, one comes to exclude them from the din of three by three Etzbot. The conclusion is, by Tzemer Pishtim, it can be Mikabel Tum'ah, if it's a Beged. If it's three by three Tfachim, or even three by three Etzbot, they'll be Mikabel Tum'ah. By other materials, only if it's a beged is it mekabel tumah. If it's a full kli, if it's 3x3 tzvachim, 3x3 be'etzvot, it's not mekabel tumah according to Tanya Rabbi Yishmael. Then we have a machloket, Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava here argue about the position of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Abaye says Rabbi Shimon Elazar subscribes to Tanya Rabbi Yishmael completely and has the same opinion as Tanya Debei Rabbi Yishmael. Over there it's easy, there's nothing to say about Rabbi Shimon Elazar. On the other hand, Rava says their opinions break. They agree by 3x3 etzvaot at the smallest shiur, that wool and linen are different. But when it reaches 3x3 tzvachim, there's a difference of opinion. Tanya Rabbi Yishmael again says it only applies to wool and linen, whereas Rabbi Shimon Elazar says it even applies to other materials. Other materials can be a full baguette or 3x3 tzvachim. They can't reach 3x3 tzvot. Tanya Rabbi Yishmael says Tzemer Pishtim applies to baguette, 3x3 tzvachim, and all the way down to 3x3 tzvot. The difference in their opinion, according to Rabbi, is by 3x3 tzvachim. According to that, Tanya Rabbi Yishmael still thinks that's limited to Tzemer Pishtim. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar thinks that it's not limited. All materials have that din. Where does he learn that from? He learns that from the word obeged. Obeged, that's written by Tumat Shvatzim, says that not only is a beged tameh, but even something more than that. Even more than that comes to include other items, other begadim, to 3x3 tefachim. Okay, we'll stop over here.